معانا. اوكي
أقسم يا
أقسم يا
أقسم يا
أسمعك.
How you doing now?
Good, thank you.
Let's give it a couple of minutes for some other people to come in.
I think Hannah's on.
Connie?
I think Hannah's on.
No, only you are.
Hi, Samaya. This is Malka, but I think I heard Hannah a few minutes ago.
I'm here. It's just I'm having to mute.
Brandla, I'm here. I'm muting.
So there's people have arrived in the last minute, so. We will start. Before we start, I will tell you where the handouts are. They're on the unique astrological events link or times link. It's underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or in the mobile devices, it's usually at the bottom. When you open up that link, scroll down till you find the Lag BaOmer section. And go below that section. And you're going to be using study material for Lagba Omer, the Hebrew Rabbah. And we're going to start with study material Rav Kook on Lagba Omer. And we will start with Lishem Yehud. Lishem Yehud Kud Shabari Kurish Gintei Bib Hilu Erhinu Hilu Ud Hilu Erhinu Vyakta Lishem Yud He Bavate Vyehuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Vyasot Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kononei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kononei Hu. Tonight is Lag BaOmer. In the Sefirot, in the counting of the Omer, it is Hod Shebechod. Hod represents the fifth Sefirah in the seven lower Sefirot. And as the fifth, it represents Malchut. Why? Because if you count from Keter, you have Keter, Chachma, Bina, and then you have Zeran Pin, and the fifth one is Malchut. So in a lower level, when we start at Chesed, the fifth is Hod, which is Malchut in the frame of Zeran Pin. Now, what is the meaning of Chod Shebechod? It's Malchut of Malchut. Now, Malchut of Malchut, of what? Well, we are counting towards the gift of the Torah, Matan Torah, on Shavuot. So essentially, all of the light of the Torah is available to us tonight. Except it's even more expansive than the light of the Torah itself. Why? Because in the spiritual world, you have more if there is no physicality. Physicality creates space. Physicality creates diminution, diminishment. It creates a blockage. Physicality is the home of the negative system. The spiritual system, the tree of life itself, has no limitation. And that is what Lag BaOmer actually is, the light of the Torah without the limitation of physicality. And we're going to see that in this first essay, which is an essay that comes from the writings of Rabbi Kook. Now, Rabbi Kook is made famous because he is the first Ashkenazi Rebbe, rabbi of Israel, of the land itself. He became that in the teens, in 1914-1915. He traveled to England to raise funds. And he was stuck in England through the end of the teens, until the end of World War I. He was there negotiating for the Balfour Declaration, which was a promise by England, who was in charge of Palestine, from the I forget the name of the organization before the United Nations, but he was, Rabbi Cook was the chief Ashkenazi rabbi of Israel. He was the first. Previously, there was only one rabbi, one chief rabbi. And that was, so they didn't even need to call him the Sephardic rabbi. But as more Ashkenazim came, it was decided, and I have no idea how they decided, it was decided to have two rabbis, chief rabbis, who would work together. So I'm going to start reading, and the first paragraph you are going to find absolutely amazing. Torah study is the subject of the essay. And it's coming with the title, The Torah of the Rashbi. Rashbi is the name that we call Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Ra of Rashbi is Rabbi. Sh is Shimon. The B is Bar. And the I is a Yud. Yochai. Not everyone needs to pray is the opening statement. Now, does that shock you? We've been praying three times a day for 3,300 years. From the beginning of the nation, we were told, pray three times a day. And here we are going to find out that the halakha says not everyone needs to pray. Those whose full-time occupation is learning Torah, such as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his colleagues, should interrupt their studies to recite the Shema, but not for the Amidah. And this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch. It's codified in the Talmud. My commentary on this paragraph. This is not only amazing, yet one also needs to realize that this teaching reinforces the Kabbalistic teaching that everything is relative to the tikkun, to the correction of the individual soul. Continuing to read. The statement is quite surprising. Does not prayer fulfill a basic spiritual need? Yes, it does. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a great scholar who completely immersed himself in Torah study. But why should he be exempt from prayer? Rav Kook explains it. And he helps us understand the function of prayer through his explanation. And he helps to understand the mechanics of prayer and its role in our spiritual growth. There are theoretical and practical applications to prayer, as well as everything else, every mitzvah. The sages used an interesting phrase to describe full-time Torah scholars. Their Torah is their umanut, their art, or their craft. In what way is Torah study likened to a craft, to an artist? A craft is a skill based on specialized wisdom and knowledge. However, it is not enough just to learn the theory. The craftsman also needs practical training in order to perfect his art. However, there are unusual individuals who are so talented that they fall under the category of one who just sees an art and acquires the skill. Using only their mental powers, they are able to acquire the necessary practical skill. One example of such a gifted artist was Bezalel. He was blessed with a unique divine spirit that enabled him to create all of the beautiful and intricate tabernacle. He created all of the vessels used in the temple, in his case, in the Mishkan. And he built that solely on the basis of their theoretical specifications, without needing to become an apprentice to a master, and eventually make his way to become a master. He knew it intrinsically. What is the art of Torah and the art of Torah study? The Torah may also be described as a theoretical wisdom that needs to be actualized on a practical level. I think we can all appreciate that. The Torah is teaching us how to behave with other people, and that's an art. That's not something that you can just learn the rules and follow the rules and be accurate. It's an art. Sometimes you do this and sometimes you do that. But the study of the Torah is what gives you that insight of what to do in what situation. It is not enough just to study about kindness and integrity and holiness. The basis for our good deeds and holy service is when we succeed in integrating the highest perceptions of divine ideals into our lives. It is precisely in this transformation from theory to practice that prayer plays a crucial role. Prayer reaches out to our emotions and our feelings because emotions have a stronger impact on actions than abstract thought. Prayer enables us to realize our ethical principles in our day-to-day lives. Our prayers for enlightenment, for forgiveness, for redemption, and so on. They awaken deep yearnings for these eternal values. Prayer softens the heart and prepares us to actualize those concepts of morality and holiness that we acquire through Torah study. Earnest prayer prepares us to become skilled artists of kindness and integrity. It causes us to become aware of what we should do in which situation. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, however, was a special case. His absorption of Torah was profound and all-encompassing. The impact of his Torah studies was so powerful, and he was so innately attuned to internalize every teaching of holiness and goodness that he did not need prayer in order to refine his emotions. His Torah study alone was enough to stamp its spiritual images deeply onto his heart and his soul. He was like the gifted individual who just sees an art or a craft, and he acquires the skill by looking at the results. He becomes the artist. Rabbi Shimon was gifted in his Torah study, just like Bezalel was blessed in his craftsmanship. For this reason, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and scholars like him are exempt from prayer. Their Torah study alone is enough to serve as a foundation for the practical application of their craft. And their craft is Torah study. My commentary. This teaching is very important. The importance is in understanding the statement that Torah is an art. I am not telling you don't pray. I'm maybe suggesting that you shouldn't judge people who don't pray the way you do. Does anyone have any questions? Can anyone explain why I chose to start tonight with this essay? Return to the unique astrological times page, and we're now going to open up the Idra Rabba. Idra is Aramaic for assembly. Rabba is large assembly. When Rabbi Shimon first came out of the cave after spending 13 years studying with the souls of Moshe and Eliyahu, studying with high-level beings, yes, he was escaping from the Romans, and that's why he hid in the cave. But the result of hiding in the cave was an emaciated body, but a great world of Torah knowledge. So the large assembly consisted of Rabbi Shimon and his son, Rabbi Elazar, and his father-in-law, Pinchas ben Yair. Those were three people. And then there were seven other rabbis. So all of these people connect to the ten Sefirot. They were each channel. So when they studied together in the cave, the same cave that he lived in for 13 years. And on the day of his passing, his Hilulah, or the day that Rabbi Akiva taught him many years before his passing, he taught him the knowledge of how to ascend, how to meditate on the letters, with the letters, so that he could ascend into heaven. And Rabbi Shimon was concerned. He knew he was going to die this day. And he knew that he had come into the world to reveal certain information. We call them secrets, but he was here to reveal Torah knowledge. And he did not want to die before he had completed that task. He did not want to have to come back again as Rabbi Shimon. But not that he was concerned about coming back again. He didn't want people to not have the information that they need to achieve their tikkun. And this is the section of the Zohar called the Iver Rabba. It's printed in the Parasha of Nachshon. And we are going to start with the introduction to the Hebrew Rabbah. There are 52 sections of the Hebrew Rabbah. We will not finish them tonight. We are going to study them together, not in our normal Zohar class, but in our deeper Zohar class. So verse 1 of the Iver Rabba, and I will start with the Lashem Yehud. Oh, we already did that. So, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon V'chavayayayom Adonat Nehi B'kaima B'chad Samka. I have quite a bit of static, so please try muting your phones for this initial part. And then when you want to speak, please unmute your phones. You mute by pressing star 6. You unmute by pressing star 6 again.
Can I turn this big light off?
Go ahead. Brandy, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's okay.
Karoza kare koyoma umkatsde kekla zeirin inum zein hu bisholai karmala pashkehan vila yadin vian atar azin. We were taught that Rabbi Shimon said to the friends, how long will we remain upheld by one pillar? Meaning in the sense of the formless world, which is the Hebrew word tohu, in which the seven lower sephirot were in a single stack, the one above the other. Rabbi Shimon wished to reveal to them the meaning of the grades in the world of correction, the world of formation, which consists of three pillars, the hidden meaning of the three columns, right, left, and central. It is written, it is time to act for Hashem. They have made void your Torah. The days are few, and the sin master, meaning the prosecutor, applies pressure. Every day the proclamation resounds for repentance, and the reapers of the field are few, meaning those who deserve the crop of the supernal fields, Malchut, which are the understandings of the secrets of the Torah. They, even those who understood, are located at the end of the vineyard, which is Malchut. Even they do not pay attention and do not know where they are going. Questions, comments, thoughts? You can unmute your phones and ask questions or make comments. The more you do this, the more you will receive from this study. And making use of this amazing energy tonight. There's no reason to be shy. You are among friends. Without questions, no one learns. The second verse. At Kanashu Kavrayayo Leve Idara Melubashin Sharyan Saife Verumhe Idekon Izderazu Petikunekon Beta Behakmata Besuklitanu Bedata Behezu Bidin Biraglin Amliku Alaifon Leman Divir Shuteya Haye Umota Lemigzar Milin Dikshot Milin Dikadi Shiche Elionim Saite Lehu Vahadam Lemishma Lehu Uminda Lehu. Gather friends to the chamber, dressed in shields with swords and lances in your hands, which is the secret of the unifications to destroy the Klipot. Hurry with your corrections, your formations, meaning hurry to restore the three columns of Hakma, Bina, Dat, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, with counsel, with wisdom, and with understanding, with knowledge, with appearance, with hands, which is the secret of Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet, and with legs, which is the secret of Netzach and Hod and Yesod. Appoint as king over you he who has the authority of life and death to decree truthful words, words to which the supernal holy beings will listen and will be glad to hear and to know them. Questions, comments, thoughts? I will start with a question. Who are the supernal holy beings? Nobody wants to ask a question? Nobody wants to answer my question?
I know. I can't find where you are.
I'm in the Book of Naso. If you're on the... if you're on your computer or you're in your book, which is it?
Well, it's on the computer, but I can go get my volume of Naso. Is that where you're reading
okay,
from
well,
now?
I'm reading from the computer. So if you go to the computer, you go to Zohar.com, or if you go to the Unique Astrological Times link, you'll find a link that'll take you there. If you're not registered on Zohar.com, which is to register is free, there's no cost to it. You may have to register if you've never been there before. But
well, I have been,
there,
but I don't know how
I'll
to get that.
Okay, well, I'll walk you through it. But which way do you want to go? Through the Unique Astrological Times link? Or?
Okay, well, let me get back there. Okay, is it the first link, study material for Lagbioma, Idralaba?
Yes.
Okay, I'm on the website.
What book are you in?
I mean, I did register 1 year, but I have no idea what my password or anything is.
You know, so they'll ask you to register again, and if you put down your email address, they'll tell you you're already registered, and you can go through the process of determining what your password is they'll tell you.
Okay, well, the page I have up says Browse the Zohar by portion, which is Idralaba by chapter, please select.
And you select chapter 1, the introduction to the Idralaba. There are two boxes. One says not so, and the other says,
well, that's not
what
mine says. Okay, well, tell me what section of Naso, and I'll go get my volume. That's not what's coming up for me.
It's at the end of the Parsha of Naso. I don't know which volume it is.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave my post right now because I have to go get this over out of the other room. You can go ahead and continue, and I'm going to mute, and hopefully I'll catch up. If not, I'll just listen real good.
I'm sure you will.
Thank you for your help.
Well, I'm sure you will. No problem. Does anybody else want to answer my questions before we go on?
Can you tell me what book you're in? Can you tell me what book you're in?
No. Bernice, I just explained to Hannah that I don't know the volume number, but it is in the Parsha of Naso.
Naso. N-A-S-O?
N-A-S-O, yes.
Okay. Okay, so that would be... And the new one would be 17.
Okay.
Okay, so that's it. At the end of it, or what?
Look at the beginning of it. Look for the sections, the index of the sections in Naso.
Okay.
And if not, it will be...
Okay, I've got the wrong volume here. I've got 16 or 17 is what it is. Okay, hold on. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody want to answer the questions? Who are the holy beings that will listen to Rabbi Shimon? And who are the friends? I'll go on to verse 3. Yati Rabbi Shimon Uvaka Ve'amar Vavi Igalal Galana Vavi La Galena Havrayayo Tehawa Taman Ishtiku Kam Rabbi Abba El Inicha Kameya Demor Legala Haketiv Sod Hashem Lirea Veha Harayayo Hilein Dachalim Tekud Shabrihu Inunu Gvar Alu Vedara deve mashkena minchon alu minchon nafu. Rabbi Shimon sat down and wept. He said, woe if I do reveal, and woe if I do not reveal. If he does not reveal, the new understandings in the Torah will get lost. And if he does reveal, perhaps someone who is not worthy of the hidden meanings of the Torah might hear. The friends that were there kept silence. Finally, Rabbi Abba stood up and said to him, if my Lord is graceful enough to reveal, behold, it says, the secret of Hashem is with them that fear him. These friends fear the Holy One, blessed be he. They have already gained entry to the chamber of residence. We have learned that some of them entered this great chamber, and some of them exited, but not all, since three friends have passed away. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I know I found the volume. It's volume 17.
Thank you.
And
have you found the section on the section you put?
On my text, it's page 126. It's the foreword to the Idra Rava, and you're on verse 3. So.
And I'm on verse 3, correct?
Yes.
So do you want to make a comment about it, or you want to take some time to read it?
No, I just wanted to find where you are. I just have to be quiet because Tony's sleeping. And I would think that the friends are those that went into the garden, and some came out and some didn't. That's what it reminds me of, since all of
the friends are the ten rabbis.
The ten rabbis
are the rabbis,
okay.
Which is all I talked about all the time. Remember, this
okay.
is his last day on earth. He's going to reveal it, and he's saying that three of the people that studied with me have already left the world before me.
Okay.
The friends are the rabbis that are mentioned, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chai Chia, Rabbi, all of those rabbis that are mentioned in the Torah, that they're traveling together, they're talking Torah, they're revealing different secrets. Those are the friends. Now, many times in the Zohar, not in this section, But in other sections, it talks about the friends, and we've said that those are the rabbis who were writing the Jerusalem Talmud. I hope people know that there are two sets of, there's two Talmuds. One that was written in Babylonia, and that's the one that is most well known and most studied. And one that was written in the land of Israel called the Jerusalem Talmud. And there are differences between the two. But for the most part, they're very similar. So sometimes when you see the word friends, not in this section, when you see the word friends, you're talking about the rabbis who were students of Rabbi Shimon directly. But elsewhere, if you see the word friends, it could be talking about these rabbis, or it could be talking about the people who wrote the Talmud.
Okay.
And the holy beings that are listening are the angels who have come to hear the words of Torah. Because the angels study the Torah also. They don't study it in the same way that we do. But they still study the Word of God, which is what the Torah is, and they study the Zohar, which is the internal essence of the Word of God. It's been described as that's the soul of God. And because of the energy of this day, Hod Shabbahot, we are going to be elevated. We have already been elevated. So that our understanding of this section can be equivalent to what we would normally receive studying on the Shabbat. Verse 4. So let me stay with verse 3 for a minute. You've all heard, you've all been informed that according to some people that it's important that you be ready to study the Zohar and that you have to study the Talmud till you know it back and forth. And the Kabbalists tell us, no, you don't have to be 40 years old. You don't have to be married, but it's helpful to be married. And you don't have to know the Talmud back and forth. But here in verse 3, Rabbi Shimon is saying, if I reveal what I'm revealing in this section of the Idro Rabbah, and somebody isn't worthy, that much light can be harmful to that soul. So how can I, who is not on that level, how can I teach this? How can I even read it? And the answer is, our desire to receive in this generation has fallen so far from the level of the desire to receive of Rabbi Shimon and his friends that we can't draw the light that can hurt us because we don't have the desire for it. And I would use as a metaphorical example is how many in this generation want to take over the world. They want to be in control of the whole world. Whereas in the generation of Alexander the Great, he had a true desire to control the world. to conquer the world. How far our generation has fallen. So we don't have to worry that we are going to get too much light. We will get the light that we're willing to desire. Verse 4. Tana itmanu harayayo kameya de Rabbi Shimon veishtekahu Rabbi Elazar bereya de Rabbi Abba de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yosei bar Yaakov de Rabbi Yitzhak de Rabbi Heskia Barav, the Rabbi Shiayo, the Rabbi Yosei, the Rabbi Yesa, Yadin Yehavu, the Rabbi Shimon, the Etzbean Zaku, the Eila, the Alu, the Hakla, Bene Elane. Ve'yatru kam Rabbi Shimon v'tzale tzilotea yativ v'gavaya v'gavav yehu v'yamar kohad yeshave yedo betukpa yoya Shavud yedaihu benasiv lon. Patach v'amar arur ha'ish asher yaseh. Pasu u'maseka maseh yadeh. Karash v'sham besater v'anu kol ha'am. We have learned that the friends were counted who were present before Rabbi Shimon. The following were present: Rabbi Elazar, his son, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Ben Yaakov, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Hiskia Ben Rav, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yesa. They stretched their hands to Rabbi Shimon with the fingers straightened upwards. They entered the field among the trees and sat down. Rabbi Shimon stood up and prayed his prayer, sat down among them and said, "Let everyone place his hands in his bosom." Each one placed his hands in his own bosom, and Rabbi Shimon accepted them. He opened the discussion, saying, "Cursed be the man that makes any carved or molten idol, an abomination of Hashem, the work of the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret." And all the people, all the friends, shall answer and say, "Amen."
Amen.
Amen. Comments, thoughts. First off, you should all say amen. Because Rabbi Shimon is telling us to say amen. But the other side of that statement is you shouldn't say amen unless you understand why you're saying amen. When you say amen, you're accepting that idol worshippers need to be cursed. If you're in idol worship and you say amen, it's a way of protecting. Because if you're an idol worshiper and you say amen, you're cursing yourself. God forbid. But we also know in our world, everybody is an idol worshiper to one degree or another. So when you say amen, you're accepting the idea that you don't want to be an idol worshiper. You may still be, but you're striving to let go of those holds, whatever those physical items have, the hold that they have on you. You're willing to let it go. You're going to strive to let it go. That's what you say with amen in this instance. Any questions? Any comments? Verse 5. Patach Rabbi Shimon v'amar et la'asot la'ashem amayai et la'asot la'ashem mishalom techa peru toratecha my heferu toratecha torah d'il ela Dehi mitbatla ila yatavid tatikunelda ulatik yomin itmar kativashderecha Israel mikamocha uktiv mikamocha ba'elim Hashem. Rabbi Shimon opened the discussion with the verse. It is time to act for Hashem. They have made void your Torah, which means, why is this a time to act for Hashem? Because they have made void your Torah. What does they have made void your Torah mean? Meaning, they have made void the Torah above, which is the secret of Zeranpin. Because she becomes void if she is not observed with her establishments. As the following will explain. This verse was said to Atik Yomim, the Ancient of Days, which is the beginning of the root of all corrections, all formations, as in the following explanation. It says, happy are you, Israel, who is like you, because they adhere to the central column. And who is like you, Hashem, among the Elim? This applies to Zeranpin, who is the central column. The Elim is the word for tree. There are two words for tree. And I have struggled to find what is the difference between them. But the word etz has a value of 160, and with the kolel it's 161. Etz has a connection to cleansing, because 161 is mikvah, 151 plus 10 sefirot additional. It's a connection to the cleansing associated with the mikvah. Elim has a different meaning. It's also a tree, and its gematria is 91, the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut. But what is it? What are we being told? That if we don't pay attention to the Torah, we make it void. Is that something to be fearful of? Nobody wants to talk. So I will answer. Go ahead.
I was just thinking of this weekend. You know, we don't live near a synagogue, so we have to drive. And we have a morning service. We have Torah study. And then we have about an hour break, and then we have Hebrew class. A young Israeli showed up at our door. He was surprised that he found a synagogue. He was evidently, he looked like a young kid, but he had a wife and a four-month-old baby. And he was here in Lake Charles for a four-day seminar in reference to his job. And had we known he was here, you know, we would have made contact with him, but he wasn't. But it was so evident to me that whenever we have services, how many mitzvot we break. I had made breakfast casseroles, so there was a kosher meal, and also someone from that had driven a great distance, about almost an hour, had brought kosher cinnamon rolls. So we actually had everything was kosher to eat, but he would not eat. He had walked quite a distance because he was, you know, if I told you the description of how far he walked, it wouldn't make sense because those on the line wouldn't understand. But it was a long distance. He stayed with us most of the day. He was very friendly, and he ended up taking over our Hebrew class and doing a great job with it. And when he was asked for his name and his how to reach him, he wouldn't write because he doesn't write on Shabbat. And there we were with our pencils, you know, because we were in class and we had corrections to make on our handout because the teacher had made several mistakes. And then the teacher said, well, here, I'll write my name and address. He said, but I don't carry on Shabbat, so he wouldn't take the paper with the name and the address. And then when it was all over, you know, when the class was over, it was time to go home. And we got in our car, all of us, each to our different cars, and we started driving home. And maybe, I'd say maybe a mile, we saw him walking. He still had a great distance to walk. And it just made me, I mean, you know, it just made me realize just, you know, how we do things here. And it made me feel, you know, very embarrassed. But whenever there's something at the synagogue, which usually there isn't something maybe once a month, then we truly can be home and be observant. But it just was an extra reminder of, you know, what we were doing. Now, it turned out that Tony offered him help before he left, and he made the comment that he was going to go to the airport and get a car and on Sunday, and because he was going to have to catch the plane to go back to Israel Monday morning. And so Tony picked him up at his motel and brought him to the airport, and then after he came over to our house and visited with us. And you know, but it was just even though I say when we drive, we know we have to drive because we live so far, and so we don't put the radio on. You know, we try to stay with the consciousness that we know that we're breaking mitzvot. But I don't know, it just really bothered me. So that's what this passage is reminding me of, is saying, oh, how did they put it? We aren't. It's time to act for Hashem. They have made void your Torah. And he said it was quite shocking to him to see a rabbi who used his phone on Shabbat. You know, just little things that we don't, I don't know, we just don't think about it anymore. And I don't know, that's, I don't think I need to say anymore. I think you've got the gist of what I'm trying to say, that very different in exile than from being in Israel. Much, much easier. But then when we are faced with the reality of what is normal Shabbat consciousness on Shabbat, it does, I want to say, bother your soul. And so his words of they have made your Torah void is what I felt like this way.
But let's ask a question. Can we really make the soul of Hashem void?
No, not Hashem, but it makes us feel bad. Our souls.
As long as there is one Jewish person who is not driving, then the Torah is not made void. Because what that one person does, we're all unified. We're all doing it. We're all supporting that action. We don't know it because it's on an unconscious level. We can say that Hashem is merciful and allows us to do these things because he understands that maybe we can't walk there, that we have to drive, that we don't have the strength to do it, and we're hungry to receive his words. But it's if every Jewish person in the world didn't do what we needed to do to act for Hashem, then the Torah would be null and void, and the effect would be the creation would become null and void. Because when we say the Torah is the blueprint of creation, if the Torah becomes nothingness, tohu, all the letters that had formed into the Torah that we know, they rearranged themselves, or they left the parchments because we were not acting for Hashem, then the creation becomes void. We all know it's not fair for us to allow one other person to keep the Shabbat for us. We have to keep the Shabbat. But we're in exile. We are far from Hashem. So listening to the Torah, even if we have to drive there, supports the person in Israel who's not driving but walking to the shul. And the hearing of the Torah, of the reading of the Torah is not void. And that's what we need to realize. What does it mean to make the Torah void? God forbid the Torah becomes void. It means that the creation would cease to exist. God forbid. But you can only do what you can do. And to do more than you can do, you can make the effort. And it's good to make the effort. but you always have to know what your limitations are. When you were 30 years old, you could walk 4 miles. When you're 80 years old, maybe you can't even walk the half mile. You can only do what you can do. Verse 7. Chadei Rabbi Shimon Ve'amar Hashem Shamati Shimacha Yareti Hatam Yeot Hawa Lemecheve Dahil Anan Becha Bivuta Tal Yayo Milta Diktiv Yahavta Et Hashem Elohecha Uktiv Me'ahavat Hashem Yitchem Uktiv Ahavti Etchem Wegomer. Rabbi Shimon rejoiced and said, Hashem, I have heard the report of you, and I was afraid. It was true there that he feared, since his root was from the left column. But as for us who are united with the central column, it comes from love, meaning chasadim, that are the aspect of love, as it is written, and you shall love Hashem your Elohim. And because Hashem loved you, and also I have loved you. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I'm wondering how Rabbi Shimon knew he had a root from the left column. Was it from his name?
Correct. Also, Habakkuk is the boy who died and was resurrected from the woman that that built the room for the prophet Elijah. Not Elijah, Elisha. So Habakkuk is that boy. The fact that he died and was resurrected tells you that he was from the left column.
Okay.
But how do you know you're connected to the central column?
I would think because of Yaakov.
Say it again. It was too soft.
I said I would think because of Yaakov, children of Israel.
That's correct. And because Hashem loved us, because Hashem loved you, and also I have loved you. These are terms connecting to the central column. And you shall love Hashem, your Elohim. Hashem is right column, Elohim is left column. Both are mentioned, and this is an indication. And if you look at the other two verses, you'll see also the left column and the right column are both mentioned in one way or another, in one word or another. Rabbi Shimon, verse 8. Rabbi Shimon patach v'amar Ole rakil Megale sod v'ne'eman Ruach mekase Davar Alechrakil Haikira Kashya Ishrakil Mi Bae Leya Vime Mar Mandholes Ela Mandila Ityashal Baruchaya Willahawe Behemana Humila Ishama Azil Begaveya Kahizra Bimaya Adirambai Leya Livar Memtet Bishum Dilet Rukhaya Rukhadikiyuma Aval Mandirukhaya Rukhadikukima Beyakiti Bne'eman Ruach Bekase Davar Bne'eman Ruach Kiyuma Birucha Birucha Talyayo Milta Ukti Elta Titen Et Picha Lachatiyo Et Besarecha. Rabbi Shimon opened the discussion saying, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. This verse is difficult, but it should have said, tale man. What is a tale goer? And he replies, it refers to someone who is not settled in mind and not trustworthy. Whatever he has heard goes within him, like a board in the water that does not sink until it is expelled outside, meaning to say he has no rest until he reveals whatever he heard to someone else. What is the reason? It is because his spirit is not stable, settled. Of him who has a stable spirit, it says, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. A faithful spirit means a stable spirit. It all depends on the spirit. It is also written, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Questions, comments, thoughts. Why does it say tail bearer, meaning a tail goer? Why not say a man who tells stories?
Are they trying to tell us that there's degrees of Lashon Hara? Or the one who speaks
It's saying that what you hear and what you're about to hear should not be discussed with others. Unless you are a person who runs after telling something, these stories. That you are unable to control yourself. So you want to be proud of what you've heard. And you want the other people to know that you heard it, that you must be important because you heard it. So you tell them. That's a tale goer. It's someone who cannot keep a secret. Even if you tell them to keep a secret, they won't, because they have to feel important. That's just one aspect of a tail goer. The ninth verse. Relate alma mit kaima ela beraza. The key benile alma. It's terif raza. The benilin razin de raza yayo. The atik yomin de la it masran. Apilu lemalakin. Ilain aako. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Lishmaya laema tietzitun, Leara laema, Tetishma dehanan, Kiyume almin, Tana razin derazin, Kad patach Rabbi Shimon deraze derazin. Is daza it atmar atra the chaverin it halchalu. The world is preserved only through secrecy. And if in worldly things secrecy is a prerequisite, it is so much more certain that the mysteries of Atik Yomim are not even passed on to the angels above. Rabbi Shimon said, to the heavens I don't say to listen, to the earth I don't say to hear, since we maintain the worlds. That is to say, Moses and Isaiah made the heavens and earth witnesses to punish the children of Israel. If they do not maintain the worlds, that the heavens will not give its rain, nor the earth its crops. But Rabbi Shimon was speaking to the righteous, who maintain the world and have no need for witnesses. We have learned that the mysteries of mysteries, when Rabbi Shimon began with the secrets of secrets, the place shook and the friends trembled. Questions? Comments, thoughts.
Well, for myself, I would have thought if Moses called the heavens and the earth as his witnesses, that it would have been something someone else, you know, that people could do. And here the Zohar is telling us not to do it because it has ramifications, negative ones.
Moses called the heaven and earth to be witnesses because he was also prophesying that the children of Israel would sin. They would need to go into exile. And he wanted them as a witness to his words, saying, I'm telling you, you're going to sin, so don't. Work hard at following the orders of Hashem. And it's still true today. That's what this verse is expressing. So when we read Chazinu and we see that Moses called heaven and earth as witnesses, we think how wonderful that he can do that. But we can do it also. Whatever Moses can do, every one of us can do. We just don't think we can, or we don't even want to try. And this is the mistake. This is why we are in this world, to grow our desire to receive. Section 2, and these are the kings. verse 10. Gale derazau kai reamar kiti vele hamlachim asher malku veeretz adom lifnei melach melech vegomer zakayin atun tzadikayayo veitgale lechon raze irazin dioraita Delight Galyan, the Kaddish, the Kaddish, El Yonin, Man Yashkach, the High Uman Yiske, the High Dehu Sahaduta, Al Mehem Nuta, the Kola Tzlota. The Rava Yehedila Yitrashav, the Hova the Galaa, Da Umayem Ru, Chavrayayo, the Haikira Kasha, who the Halahawa, Leia, Lemiktav. Haki deha hazenan kama malachim hawo adilayetum bene Israel viadla kehi malkali bene Israel ma itchaze haka bilda itaru harayayo. Ela raza de razin u tila yachlin bene nasha laminda ulishta moda u marchash veda taehu behai. He revealed in secret and opened the discussion with the verse. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king in Israel. Blessed are you, righteous, to whom were revealed the inner secrets of the Torah, which are not revealed to the most holy beings up high, meaning the angels. Who will be attentive to this, and who will deserve this? The verse, and these are the kings, that is evidence about overall faith. May the prayer be accepted that it will not be considered a sin to reveal this. What will the friend say, since this verse is difficult, since it was unnecessary to write this, because we could see how many kings Edom had before the children of Israel came along, and prior to the children of Israel having a king? What is shown to us here? It is a high secret, and men are incapable of knowing and understanding and contemplating this, since it alludes to the supernal worlds. Questions, comments, thoughts? Kings of Edom. What is the questions that the verse is asking us? It's saying we didn't need to know this. The verses didn't need to be written. Why? Because we could count who was a king in Edom. The Torah tells us so-and-so was a king in Edom before these verses. These verses have something else to teach us. That's what Rabbi Shimon is saying. And what does it have to teach us? If you look closely at these verses, and I think it's chapter 35 of Genesis, in that section of that part of the Torah, those verses come to teach us about the world of Tohu. The world of where the kings, all of the kings died except the last one.
Right. Because he had a wife.
Why did the last one die? And how many were there? There were seven that died and an eighth one who lived. And if you understand that this is relating to the Sephirot, and you remember what it said in the first verse, in the world of Tohu, the Sephirot were one on top of the other. They weren't in the tree. They weren't in columns, right, left, and central. There was just one straight line of the Sephirot. So how did they communicate? Right below Netzach was Hod. And Netzach didn't care what Hod wanted to receive. He gave it everything he had. And what happened to Hod? It blew apart. Verse 11. Tanatika diatikin tamira ditmirin adlazamin tikuno diture aturin sharuta desuyome the sea of ma la ha wa wa ha wa ma glif shaye beya ufaris kameya ad parsa uva galif tishi ar milkin. We have learned about the most ancient of ancients, the most hidden of hidden. Before he prepared his constructions and the crowns of crowns, the preparation of the vessel and the readying them to receive the lights are called constructions. The lights themselves are called crowns, derived from the verse, the crown with which his mother crowned him. There did not yet exist a beginning nor an end, which are the upper Chachmah, the beginning of revelation, and the lower Chachmah, the end of revelation. And lower Chachmah, the end of revelation. He was carving and estimating the limits of it, meaning of revealing the beginning and the end. He laid out a boundary, and in it he marked and measured kings. Questions, comments, thoughts. What did Hashem learn about the vessels when they broke apart, when they exploded, and all the sparks fell into the klipot? What did Hashem learn? Verse 12. Ketikuno la'it kiryamu Ha'idikti ve'ele hamlakim Asher malfu be'eretz Edom Livnei melach melach Livnei Yisrael Mal ka kad ma a Leave Israel kad ma a Bekuhu degilifu Bishmahan itkarun Vila itkayamu Adyanach lehu viatsna lehu Uvatar zimnahu Istalach behahi hahu Parsali itikam betikuno. His constructions were not maintained. This is what is written. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom, before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. Meaning before the first king that reigned over the first children of Israel, all that were recorded were called by their names, but did not survive. So eventually he abandoned them and hid them. And he was elevated by that boundary and establishment with his own corrections.
Is the answer to your question, where did Hashem learn? Was it that he had to destroy before he could build?
Very nice, Anna. That is what he learned. I'm sure he knew it before, but it's what we learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
You could not construct without having destroyed. We don't create something from nothing like Hashem did. We change things. We form things. We don't create things. And in order to form something new, you have to leave something behind. You have to destroy what you leave behind. Physically, we may not mean to destroy it. It may not have to explode. It may still be there. But relative to where we are now, we call that destruction. The 13th verse. Vetana katsalik biruta lemivre O raita tamira tire alte Shanim viatka miad amra kameya mandivae viatkina umebad Yitakein b'kad mekwa tikuno. We have learned that when his wish came to pass, the wish of the emanator to create the Torah, she was hidden for 2,000 years, and he produced her, meaning created her. She immediately said to him, whoever wishes to restore and accomplish, let him first tend to his own constructions. Questions, comments, thoughts.
So the Torah had to be hidden before it could be revealed.
Correct. And people have to fix themselves before they can fix the world. That's a lesson that we all have to learn. Because what do? We go to try and fix the world. It's somebody else who's done the problem. Somebody else who's created the problem. But no, we are the ones who created the problem. Fix yourself. Correct yourself. And then the world becomes corrected on its own. I'm going to call an evening because I've got a sense that this is very deep material, which I know it is. And people are a little bit tired. But this is a very joyful evening.
Did you have a sense of joy all day today? Because I did.
Yes.
It was like...
Yes, I did also.
Mm-hmm.
The holiday was coming, and you're going to see the joy tomorrow as well. The more you study tonight and tomorrow, the more elevated you will become. Because you're already elevated, you're going to be able to understand what you study much more deeply. But you've gotten a glimpse at the beauty of the Idra Rabbah, the revelation at the end of Rabbi Shimon's life.
I want to ask a question. I'm not sure I can word it right, but let me try. I had already explained to you that when I had the procedure on my back, that I had asked to be able to have the procedure on a Tuesday. I knew the doctor did went to the hospital on Monday, Tuesday, and Fridays. I didn't want to go on a Monday, and I didn't want to go on a Friday because it was so close to Shabbat. And so I asked for Tuesday, but I was told that he no longer goes on Tuesday. So in just 2 months' time, he had changed his schedule of going to the hospital. So they gave me Friday, and it turned out to be Yesod Sheva Tiferet. And, of course, in the month of Iyar, which has to do with healing, and Yesod having to do with not only the genitalia, but your foundation, your spine, and Tiferet being middle column. So I didn't really have a choice of the dates. I was given that date. And when I came out of the recovery room, I had a little bit of pain. I was told I'd have pain 3 to 4 weeks. But then after that, I could expect to have 3 months to 2 years with no pain because they burn those specific nerves in between L3, 4, and 5. Okay, I came home. Our third floor daycare surgery is brand new, so it was very nice and pretty, but you didn't really have a room. You had a little cubicle with a curtain. But the number above my room, or my little cubicle, was 343, which added up to be 10. So I became aware of all of a sudden the Sefer wrote. And also what the date was. My time was supposed to be 11 o'clock, which I knew was going to be before noon. So I knew extra mercy was there, loving kindness. But they ended up taking me last because everybody else just had a simple steroid shot in their neck, whereas mine was burning the nerves and I had to have the anesthesiologist, not just the little bitty sedation. And so they didn't take me until 1:30. And my first thought was, oh gosh, I'm moving into the period of negativity of the day. And then I remembered what she said, that all thoughts either come from two sources. And I thought to myself, hey, wait a minute. I'm not putting my trust in the procedure. I'm not putting my trust in the doctor. I'm not putting my trust in what time of day it is. I'm only trusting that Hashem is the healer, as the acronym of ER says. I'm Hashem, your healer. And when I woke up out of the recovery room about 2:30, I had a little pain. It wasn't where I couldn't stand it, but I had pain. And when I left the hospital at 3:30, and then when I came home, I fell asleep, which they told me I probably would because I had more sedation than the other procedures usually have, where they don't actually burn the nerves. And when I woke up, it was 8 in the afternoon. It was night, but it was no longer Yesod Sheva Tiferet. It was now Malkut Sheva Tiferet. And I didn't have any pain when I woke up. So it was like, to me, what I saw was the Sefi Road in action, and I was receiving the manifestation when I entered that next day, which was still night, on the secular calendar. And so now I'm thinking every day of the Omer, then we're probably experiencing that particular Sefi Road of the day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Whether you know it or not. Whether you know it or not.
Right. But then it makes you want to say, hey, wait, I've got to wake up. And try to see what is happening today. It's just not just naming it, but it's experiencing it. Is that right?
It's living it. It's being able to live the tree.
I didn't understand what you said.
It's called living the tree. Living the tree of life.
Okay.
We start the day after Pesach, where we received all of the light without any bread of shame. And so each day, we have an opportunity to correct that emotion. Because the lower Sephiroth are dealing with the emotions. We have the opportunity to correct those emotions. We can correct them through conscious level, by looking at a particular trait, character trait, and deciding to change it, and asking Hashem for help to change it. And maybe we succeed, maybe we don't. But if we may even make the effort, we are revealing some light, so that by the time we get to Shavuot, we again have a vessel that can receive all of the light but we will have earned it because of the effort we put forth these 50 days. And yes, what you're describing is accurate, because each day, what we count at night and we say, today is Hod Shabbat, you'll see in action tomorrow if you would only just look.
Well, to me, Hod would be to be thankful all day long and be aware of all the blessings that we have. And, when you're thankful, you do have a joyful spirit.
And that's.
So that's what we can look forward to.
What does it mean?
All day. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. What does it mean this week? What was the energy this week? It was hug. It was appreciation. To be thankful that you are in this world so that you can do mitzvot. Because if you're out of this world, God forbid, you cannot no longer do mitzvot. You can't reveal light. You live from the light that you have already revealed. Every day is a different sefirah, and it's not just words. You have the choice to learn to live it, to live the Torah. The two statements that I make in the L'shem Yichud that we do most of the time, one is to speak words of Torah or learned words of Torah, and the other is to live words of Torah, to live the Torah. That's what we're praying for. Shalom Gadol.
Okay, and I want to say how much we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And more than you appreciate me is I appreciate you all. Shalom to everyone.
Okay, shalom. Good night, everybody.